Masechta Shabbos, Daf Samach Aleph Amid Beis. A kameya, an amulet, can be worn in Rishus HaRabim only if it is clear that it actually works to heal someone. And if a kameya has the Shem Hashem, if it gets worn out, it requires geniza. In fact, anything that has the Shem Hashem on it after it wears out requires geniza. Daf Samach Beis. The shin of the tefillin, the dalad, which is at the back of the head, as well as the yud on the tefillin shel yad, which spells shakai, are all halacha l'maishe mi-sinai and have kedusha. Therefore, even though tefillin are covered with batim, if one has to go to the bathroom, he must still take off the tefillin. The Mishnah. A woman is not allowed to go out on Shabbos with a sewing needle, even if you put it into the clothing. It's considered a masoi, a burden, not a tachshit, not an ornament. Or she cannot go out with a ring which has a seal. Or she cannot go out with a kulier, this is a certain type of an ornament, a spice bundle, or wearing a bottle of balsam oil. If she went out with any of these, she is chayev to bring a chatas, because all these are considered to be a masoi. The Chachamim say she's potter by spices and oil, since the Chachamim classified these two as ornaments. The Gemara. The halacha by a woman is that a signet ring is osur midaraisa on Shabbos to carry. But a regular ring is only osur midrabanan. This is the opposite of a man, whereby since his normal derech is to wear a signet ring, so a signet ring is considered a tachshit, and it's only osur midrabanan. But a regular ring would be called a masoi. And Ula says, men and women are totally different. Nashim am bifnei atzmanhein. They are a totally different category than men, vis-a-vis certain halachas. The Gemara says, tefillin, if found in the countryside, by either a man or a woman, they're allowed to wear them one at a time back to the city. Because it's considered a malbush, it's considered something which is worn. Ay, but tefillin are a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. So women are totally putta from wearing tefillin. How can they wear them? It would be like carrying. Our answer is this is like Rameir, who holds that the zman of tefillin is not only by day, but at night as well. Therefore, it's not really a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, and women would be allowed to wear them. Finally, there are three activities which bring a person to poverty. Number one, if one urinates next to his bed. Number two, one who is not careful with antilas yadayim. And number three, if a man's wife curses her husband in front of him, and she does this because he doesn't buy her tachshitim when he can afford it. Daf Samach Gimel. The trees of Yerushalayim used to be cinnamon trees, and when they used them for firewood, the beautiful smell could be enjoyed throughout Eretz Yisrael. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, these trees were hidden as well. The next Mishnah. A man on Shabbos is not allowed to go out into a Rishus HaRabim carrying a sword, a bow, or a shield, and if he did, he's chayev achatas. All these are considered to be a masoi. Rabbi Eliezer argues and says these are really tachshitim for him. Therefore, he's potter from bringing a chatas. And the Chachamim say these are not ornaments, but are shameful and will not be used by the Yemais HaMashiach in the future, as the pasuk says, "Lo yisagayal goy cherev v'lo yilmedu oid milchama." They won't lift up swords against each other, and there won't be any more wars. Finally, the Mishnah says a biris is not mekabel tuma, and one can go out with it on Shabbos. But kvalim are tame, so one cannot go out with them on Shabbos. The Gemara. Shmuel says, Ein bein oylam hazel liyamais hamashiach ala shibud golius bilvad. The only difference between oylam hazeh and yamais hamashiach is the fact that we'll be free from exile and shibud to foreign kings. And the prophecy of Layisa Gael Gecherev refers to oylam haba, the afterlife, not to yamais hamashiach, the times of Mashiach. According to Shmuel, the world will continue to exist in its present state when Mashiach comes, with the only difference being that Bnei Yisrael will live in Eretz Yisrael under Jewish rule and not be subjugated to foreign nations. Ein bein yamais hamashiach la'elam hazeh ela shibud golius bilvad. Reb Chiya bar Ava says that all the prophecies even refer to yamais hamashiach. He's of the opinion that elam haba is so sublime that no one, even the Nevi'im, are able to fathom what it is going to be like. Ayin le'ra'asa. Tosfos adds that Ein bein olam hazeh liyamais hamashiach ela shibud golius bilvad should not be taken totally literally. As we know, in the yamais hamashiach, Yerushalayim will also be rebuilt. So it's more than just the fact that we're not going to be mishubad to the goyim. Reb Kahana said a person should first learn all the information in the Torah from his rabbi, and later on go back and try to understand it in more specific detail. Rabbi Yehiyahu said if two Talmidei Chachamim who ask questions to each other to sharpen their havana, Hashem will give them hatzlacha, and they will reach high positions. But this will not happen if they do this with gaiva, or if it's learnt shalai lishma. Reb Shimon ben Lakish said, Gadol ha-malva yosem in a'iset tztaka. Lending money is greater than just giving the money at tztaka, because it saves the recipient from embarrassment. And if one gives money to someone as working capital for an investment, he gets the most schar. Reb Kahana said, anyone who raises a vicious dog in his house prevents kindness from happening in his house because the Ani won't want to come close to the house. They'll be afraid of the dog. From the Pasuk in Koheles, Yud Aleph, Smach Bachor B'Yaldusecha, rejoice, young man, in your childhood, we learn that one should joyfully learn Torah, but then you must apply the learning to Maisim Tovim and fulfillment of the mitzvahs as well. When the Mishnah says Kfalim and Birus, it's referring to bracelets which go on the legs. Finally, Reb Dimi said, normally a piece of cloth can only be Mekabel Tumah if it's at least the size of 3x3 etzbois. But if it is woven to be used specifically in a size of less than 3x3 etzbois, which is referred to as Arig, then even this tiny cloth can be Mekabel Tumah. This is learned from the tzitz, the head plate, worn by the Kohen Gadol, which was very small, yet chashev enough to be considered a beged of the Kohen Gadol of its own. Daf Samach Dalet. There are many items that if they come into contact with the dead sheretz, they become tameh as well. Tanan Deber Rabbi Yishmael asks, why did the Klal Yisrael require a kapara after the door of Midian? More answers, because they had pleasure by looking at the znus of Midian. And Rabbi Sheshes added, kol ha-mistakel bi-etzba katana shel isha, ki-ilu mistakel b'makam haturfa. Anyone who looks at even the little finger of a woman, it's like gazing at the makam ha-erva. Before we move on to the next Mishnah, we should talk about the halacha regarding wearing a key as part of a belt and carrying that in a Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos. A key may be made into part of an existing belt, for example a leather or a vinyl belt, and then be worn around the waist. However, this requires that the key is an intrinsic part of the belt, serving as an essential part of the belt. For example, it can be used instead of the prong of the buckle, thereby doing the essential service of fastening the belt around one's waist. What about making a belt by attaching the key to a string? In that case, a key may be tied to a piece of string and then be worn as a belt on a garment, which does not already have a belt around it. Here again, the key must be doing the essential service of linking one end of the string to the other. This can be achieved by tying one end of the string through the hole of the key, bringing the string around one's waist, and then tying the other end of the string either around the teeth of the key or once again through the hole of the key. In either case, the key is the link, since otherwise the ends of the string would not be joined together. These are just some interesting aids of what a person can do if he needs to carry a key on Shabbos from one place to the other. The next Mishnah. A woman can go out on Shabbos with hair braided into her own hair, whether this new hair comes from a friend or from an animal. She can also go out with peah nachris, which is a shetel, to the chatzer, but not to Rishus HaRabim. A woman can also go out with a pad in her ear, a shoe, or placed in a position to catch damnida, so it doesn't ruin her clothing. She can also go out with an item in her mouth for medicinal purposes, but she can't put it in on Shabbos. A false tooth made of gold, Rebbe says it's mutter to go out with that, the Chachamim say aser. Since it looks funny, people may make fun of her, and then she'll take it out and carry it dalet amos b'rishus harabim. It's interesting to point out that the Shilta HaGiborim, brought on the Chavtes Amar Aleph in the Dafei HaRif, uses our Mishnah as a makor for the minig today of married women who must cover their hair to cover it with a shetel. The Gemara. Rav says, even though when the Rabbanan said it is usur to wear an item in Rishus HaRabim, it is also usur in a chatzer, the exception to this is a kavul or a peah nachris, a wig, where they are mutter to wear it in a chatzer. And the reason is, kedeish lo tiskana isha al bala, so that a woman should not appear repulsive to her husband. Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yaisi says, all tachshitim are mutter in a chatzer. When we say chatzer, many Rishonim hold that the heter of chatzer applies even to a chatzer she'eno me'urevas, as long as it isn't a Rishus HaRabim midaraisa. And as we mentioned earlier, today we are mekel that women are allowed to wear tachshitim even outside of a Rishus HaYachid, as is brought in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Shin Gimel, Sif Yud Ches. Finally, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav said, Kol makom she'asru chachamim ne'maras ha'ayin afilu b'chadrei chadarim asur. In any place where the Chachamim made a takana, that something is asur to do because of maras ha'ayin, a person is not allowed to do this maisa even in private. Daf Samachay. A sanitary napkin used to catch damnida can be used on Shabbos in a Rishus HaRabim, even if it isn't tied to the woman, since blood is mius, and she wouldn't attempt to carry it with her hands. One important shaila here is regarding a meich dochuk, the examination cloth, inserted on the eve of the Shivan Akiyam, which is left in position from Shkia until Tzeis. If a woman inserts a meich dochuk on Friday evening or Shabbos afternoon before the end of Shabbos, most shitas, including Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and the Minchas Yitzchak, hold that a woman should be machmir not to go out into Rosh Hasharabim, since at that point this isn't really a bodily requirement. The Tzitz Eliezer, however, is matir it. Finally, although there is a machlokes if a false gold tooth can be worn in Rosh Hasharabim, a silver tooth all hold is mutter. What about a pair of rubbers or galoshes that a person wears over shoes when it's raining? The halacha is that rubbers may be worn in Rosh Hasharabim, although one's main intention in wearing them is to safeguard one's shoes. They're mutter because they also offer protection to the person's feet, as it's very uncomfortable to wear wet shoes, and in fact a person could get sick from wearing wet shoes for a long period of time. The next Mishnah. A woman is allowed to go out with a coin connected to a tzinnis, a wound. Small girls with pierced ears can go out with strings or wood splinters inside the pierce mark to keep the hole from closing. Finally, a person can fasten the end of his cloak with a stone or a coin on Shabbos. Gemara. The daughters of Shmuel were not allowed by their father to wear these ear strings, to sleep together, or to use the river as a mikveh for tefillah in Chodesh Nisan. During Chodesh Nisan, he built them regular mikvahs. But he allowed them to use the river to be tevil during Tishrei. But when he did allow them during Tishrei, he put mats on the bed of the river to prevent chatzitzas. The Gemara says when the Euphrates River, the Nahar Pras, gets large, it's proof that there was a lot of rain in Eretz Yisrael. And the rule is that a mayan, a spring or a river, is kosher l'mikvah if the water is still, the Ba'ash Bayron, or flowing, the Zeichelin. A mikvah, water which stands in one place, is only kosher Ba'ash Bayron. These are our mikvahs today. When you go to the mikvah, it's standing in one place. If the water is standing still, then it's kosher. But if it's Zeichelin, if it's flowing, then it's pasul. Rainwater, which does not emanate from a spring, is only kosher if it is still. So if it is Chodesh Nisan and there was a lot of rain, Shmuel was afraid that the rivers were mostly rainwater. And since rainwater is pasul, if it is flowing, and a river is certainly flowing, it might become pasul for tefillah. Hence, he prohibited his daughters from using the rivers in Nisan, but allowed it in Tishrei after the dry summer season, since there's no rain during the summer, so Raiv is certainly spring water. For an interesting shaila, see the Taz in Yeridea, Simen Reish Aleph, Sifkatan Gimel, where the Trumas Hadeshin asks that if when a lot of Mayim She'uvim falls into a mikveh of 40 saw, even if it's Raiv, it does not passel the mikveh due to hashaka, due to the fact that it was being kissed, so to say. So once the pasala mayim she'uvim touches the kasher water, it becomes kasher as well. Why here by the river don't we say the same thing? That as the rainwater touches the river should be matarid via hashaka. One other interesting thing to point out is that because of this halacha, that a mikveh of rainwater is kasher only bashbayrin, if it's standing still, this is the reason we have to be very careful that a mikveh is properly sealed and has no cracks in it. Because if there are cracks, the water begins to flow, it becomes zeichelin, and in turn it passels the mikveh. Daf Samach Vav, the next Mishnah. A kitea, a person who does not have a foot, he is allowed to go out on Shabbos with a false foot or a wooden foot, because it's equivalent to a person who has a foot who can go out without a shoe. Rabbi Yossi says it's also for a kitea to go out with a false foot, since it's made from wood. And it's also to go out with something like that on Shabbos. The Gemara. And if the false foot had a base kibble, a receptacle, if a mace touches it, it can be mekabel tumas mace, since now it's like a keli. But it cannot be mekabel tumas medrus, since it doesn't really support his weight, but only serves the purpose of looking like the person has a foot. Rava says, it is mekabel tumas medrus, since sometimes it does support the weight of the kitea. The next Mishnah. Little boys can go out with nuts, and B'nai Melachim, princes, can go out with bells on their clothing. Since B'nai Melachim usually had bells, so we're not afraid that they would take them off to show someone in Rosh Hasharabim, and walk Dalet Amos B'Rosh Hasharabim. Al-Daf brings the Gemara in Erevin Daf Kuf Dalet, which says that the Rabbanon Asur play musical instruments on Shabbos. And the Gemara in Be'a, Daf Lamed Vavam in Be'a, explains that the reason they Asur it is because we're afraid of Tikkun Kli, we're afraid the person may come to fix it if it breaks. The Ramah in Simen Shin Lamed Ches Sif Aleph rules that including in this Isser Midrabanan is something called Hashmas Koil, using any device which is designed to make noise. For example, such as a door knocker, that would also be Usser on Shabbos to knock the door knocker due to the same Gzeira Midrabanan of Shema Tikkun Kli, which applied to any musical instrument. The Gemara. If a son is very attached to his father, he is allowed to tie a string from his right shoe and put it on the child's left hand. A woman is allowed to go out on Shabbos wearing an Evan Tekuma. This is a special stone which helps prevent a miscarriage. This is whether she has had a history of miscarrying or not. Daf Samach Zayin, the next Mishnah. Rameir says on Shabbos one can go out wearing the egg of a locust, the tooth of a fox, and the reason these are mutter, since these are skulas for refuah. They help a person to heal himself if need be. The Chachamim say it's aser, even during the week to carry these, since these skulas are darkei hoyamori, and the pasuk in Vayikra, Yudches, says, ubchukaseihem loy seilechu. Therefore, it's not mutter to go out with these even during the week. Regarding chilul Shabbos for a person who is in sakana, the Ramban and the Rajba assert that one can desecrate the Shabbos in an effort to save a sick person's life via a segula-type remedy. Moreover, the Chidah writes, in the Birkei Yosef Simen Shin Aleph, that it was once reported that Rabbeinu Peretz once wrote a kameya, an amulet, on Shabbos for a woman in labor who was experiencing serious difficulty and was in a makom sakana. The Rambam, however, in his commentary to the Mishnah, says that one can violate the Shabbos in treating a critically ill person only if he is administering a natural or scientific cure. However, one may not be mechal Shabbos to administer a segula type of a cure, because this is something which is not considered as being dependable. The Gemara. If it is obvious that something is done with tzarech refuah, then it is mutter and there is no chshash of darkei ha'amori. Finally, if someone dances with chicks, or dances when he makes kutach, this is usur due to darkei ha'amori. This marks the end of this parak. Now let's begin parak Zayin, klal gadol, the Mishnah. Concerning Shabbos, they set a klal gadol, a major rule. If someone forgot there was such a thing as Shabbos, and he did many melachos on many Shabbosos, and then he found out about this thing called Shabbos, he only has to bring one karban chatas, since it's like one shaygig. The second case, if he knew about Shabbos, but he thought today was Tuesday, and he did many melachos over a few Shabbosos, then he's chayev one chatas for each Shabbos. Yavim shevinatayim havin yediyah lechalek. Since these days between each Shabbos creates a separation between the different Shabbosos, so each one is considered a separate shkaga. Case number 3, if he knows today is Shabbos, but did many melachos, since he thought each one was a permitted act, and he did these on many Shabbosos, then he's chayev achatas for every melacha which he did. Finally, if someone does two similar melachos, for example, two toldas of one av, or the av and the tolda of that av, then he's only chayev one chatas for that entire av melacha. Daf Samaches, the Gemara. Why does our Tana call this rule a klal gadol? There is only one other place in Shas where we use this lashon of klal gadol, and that's in Masech Teshvius. Gemara answers, since there are so many avos and toldos, it's a very broad iser, so it's referred to as a klal gadol. For a peri to be chayev in peah, it must be edible, protected, grown from the ground, and it must be an item which is stored. And to be chayev in meiser, it must be edible, protected, and grown from the ground. The Gemara brings Rav and Shmuel, who learn a chiddush, that our Mishnah, which says in the first case that if someone is mechuyev only one chatas for being mechal Shabbos many times, that's referring to a tinik shenishba, someone who was captured and lived amongst the goyim, so he never really knew about Shabbos. Or it's referring to a ger sheniskayer, he converted to become a Jew, but never was told about Shabbos. But a Jew who knew about Shabbos, and he was mechal Shabbos, he must bring a separate chatas for every Shabbos that he was mechal Shabbos. The Chasam Sefer explains that even though a tinik shenishba cannot be faulted for his ignorance and should not be punished, Rav and Shmuel mechayev him to bring a karban chatas, because they say that the chatas obligation is for the purpose of a kapara, not for the purpose of an einish. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish argue, they argue on Rav and Shmuel, and they say that the Mishnah is referring to one who once learned about Shabbos, but subsequently forgot about it. However, a tinik shenishba ben hanachrim, a child who was kidnapped and raised as a goy, he's exempt from a chatas because he's considered to be a coerced individual, an einis, not considered to be a shaygig, an inadvertent transgressor. The Chazon Ish in Yoredeya, Simen Beis, Sifkot and Chof Ches, writes that today individuals who were raised in homes which are non-observant are considered to be tinoikos shenishbu. Finally, Munvaz said that in this case there is no chiyuv of a carbon at all, since a chatas can only occur if there was some kind of yedia when the avera was done. Daf Samach Tes. If someone is aware that something is a forbidden melacha on Shabbos, but he didn't know that if you do it, you're chayav a carbon, you're still chayav to bring a carbon. The Gemara says by truma, if a zar eats it b'shagig, he must pay a karen plus a chaymish, and the shagig must be on the lav. If someone was traveling and he lost track of which day Shabbos was, he should now count 6 days, and on day 7 he should observe Shabbos. This is like the order of the creation of the world, that at the end of the 6 days, the 7th day was Shabbos. Chiya Bar Rav argues, and says first he should observe Shabbos, and then he should count 6 days of Chol. This is analogous to Adam Harishon, who first began with Shabbos, then he had 6 days of Chol. Finally, even though he's allowed to wait 6 days before observing Shabbos, but on those 6 days he can only do the work he needs to do to basically eat to be able to survive. On day 6 he can work double, and on day 7 he rests, makes Kiddush, as well as Havdalah. Tosfos asserts that although he's prohibited from doing melacha every day, he's permitted to violate the halacha midrabanan, which limits the distance a person may travel on Shabbos to 2,000 amas outside the city limits. This is called the Tchum Shabbos. For if he would have to keep that, he would never find his way out of a desert, and his life would be in danger. The Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim, Simen, Shin, Dalet, Mem, Sif Aleph, rules that this lost traveler may travel more than the Tchum Shabbos all week, even on his Shabbos, because, as we mentioned before, according to Taisus, that a person would be in danger if he wouldn't be allowed to travel and find his way out of the area that he was and the area that he is now lost in. Dafayin. The Torah in Shmais Lamed Hei says, Lo sevaru eish b'chol moshveisechem b'yom ha-Shabbos. The Torah does not specifically talk about any of the individual malachas except for Havara. The question is, why does the Torah single out Havara? Reb Nelson says, the Torah singles out the malacha of Havara with a special pasuk to tell us that if one does a lot of malachas, behelam achas, in one period of unawareness, he still chayav a special karban for not only the Havara, but for each and every malacha, he's chayav a special karban, one for each. This is referred to as Havara lechalek yatzis. Rabbi Yossi holds, Havara lelav yatzis. And what that's coming to tell you is that although all the malachas, if done b'mezid, are chayav misa, the Torah singled out Havara to tell us that if it is done b'mezid, there is no chayav misa, but just a lav. And the Gemara, by the way, in Makkos, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, says that the concept of chiluk malachas applies only to Shabbos, but not to Yontif. If one does several categories of malachas on Yontif, then he's mechuyev only in one set of malchus, not in multiple sets of malchus. If a person had in mind to write the name Shimon on Shabbos, which now is the malacha of Kaisiv, but he only wrote Shin Mem, two letters, then he's still chayev for this mixtus malacha, since Shin Mem also spells the word Shem. Finally, Tchum Shabbos is an Isser Midrabanan. Rabbi Akiva argues and holds that it is an Isser Midaraisa. If someone ate two kezesim of chelev, chelev is forbidden fats, and he eats them behelamachas, in one period of unawareness, and he found out one of them was aser, and then he ate a third kezias, which was eaten behelamachas, with the second kezias, i.e. the first two were behelamachas and the last two were behelamachas. So Rava says if he brought a carbon from the first kezias, that will help for the second as well, since they were eaten behelamachas, but it won't cover the third kezias, i.e. we don't say grera. But if he brought a carbon for the middle one, it will be mechaper for all three. Abaya says, if he brings a carbon for any of the three, it's mechaper for all three, i.e. we do say grera. The Gemara says if one eats a chatzi zayis of one iser and a chatzi zayis of a different iser, one is only chayev for a chatas b'shoigig, or a malchus b'mezid, if both are of the same type of food, min b'minei, then they're mitzaref for the iser. But if there are two different types of food, min b'she'en aminei, then he's potter. We should point out the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, which brings a famous machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish regarding chatzi shir. Rabbi Yochanan says, even though normally the kezias is the minimum shir necessary for malchus or chatas, there is, however, an iser min haTorah to eat any amount, even less than a kezias, i.e. chatzi shir is osur min haTorah. Reish Lakish disagrees and says that there's no iser min haTorah to eat less than a kezias of something which is osur. Chatzi shir ain osur min haTorah. Finally, by a carbon chatas, all agree that one can only be chayef if at some point there was the idea that an avera was done. By an osham, it's a machloikis, however. Reb Tarfon says, even if a person is besafik, if he did an Avera, he can still bring a Karban Asham with a Tanai. Dafayin Beis. If someone has relations with a Shivcha Knanis, who is engaged to an Ever Ivri, this is referred to as a Shivcha Charufa, then he must bring a Karban Asham. And by a Shivcha Charufa, the Asham is brought both in a case of Bemezid as well as Beshaigig. If he does it a few times, he's only chayev for one karban. But a bia that occurred after the hafrasha of the karban, the new bi'ila cannot be nichlal in the kapara of the first karban. And if he is bayil five different times with the idea in between each bi'ila, he may be chayev five different karbanas. I.e. by shivcha charufa, it's a machlekes if we say yediyah mechalekes or not. If someone had kavana to do one maisa, for example, to pick up something which is detached, which is tolish, something like a spoon, but instead he cut something from the ground, we say that he's potter. This is what we call misasik. He is preoccupied with something else. This is learned from the pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Dalet, pasuk Chav Gimel. Ayhoida elav chatosai asher chotaba vehevi eskarbane. It became known to him, his sin, that he sinned in it. He shall bring his offering. The extra word ba teaches us that only if a person has kavana to do something is he chayav to bring a chatas. But if he's preoccupied, he's misasek, then he's potter. But then the Gemara gives us a different case. If he had kavana to cut a vegetable, but he had kavana to cut a vegetable that was mutter to cut since he thought it was talush, but by accident he cut something which was mechuber, something which was attached, Rava says, then he's potter, since he didn't have kavana to do a chaticha de isura. Abaye, on the other hand, argues, and says in that case he would be chayev, since lamaisa he had kavana to cut, even though he had kavana to cut something else, but he's still chayev, since lamaisa he had kavana to cut something. The Gemara says if one does numerous acts of avodah zarah behelamachas, for example he does nisuch, and he bows down, then he's only chayev for one karban. If someone bowed to an avodah zarah, me'ava o miyura, Rashi learns this means out of love or fear of a person, not out of idolatry, thinking that this bowing is mutter. The Rambam learns that me'ava u'miyura, the Rambam is brought in Perek Gimel, Hilchas Akum, Halacha Vav. He says that it's worshipping out of love, that means out of love for the Avodah Zarah, i.e. one serves an Avodah Zarah because he's taken by its beauty, and out of fear means out of the fear from the Avodah Zarah, meaning that he thinks the Avodah Zarah possesses some mystical power to harm him for refusing to worship it. According to Abaya, in this case, me'ava u'miyura, he's chayev to bring a chatas if it was done b'shaigig, and he's chayev misa that was done b'mezit. According to Rava, he's potter. We should point out the famous Gemara in Sanhedrin, Dafayin Dalet Amud Aleph, which says that avodah zarah is one of the three cardinal sins which one is required to give up his life rather than violate them, yehoreg v'al yavar. So here Tosfos asks, how can Rava allow one to violate avodah zarah merely out of love or fear of someone? Tosfos answers that Rava does not allow this mi'avu u'miyura, to bow down to an avodah zarah mi'avu u'miyura lechatchila. He only says that after the fact, if one violates this halacha, then we say that he's potter. Dafayin Gimel. If someone had kavana to throw two amas bishus harabim, which is not a malacha, but by accident he threw it dalet amas, which is a malacha, dalet amas bishus harabim, Rava says he's potter, since he didn't have kavana for a zrika iser. Abaye says he's chayev, since lamaisa he did have kavana to throw it. This is actually similar to the machloikas that we had before. At this point we will stop. Mirtzashem, on the next tape, we will begin the Mishnah, which will enumerate the specifics of the Lamed Tes Melachos.